Good morning. If we have anyone that has any announcements, please come up and do it. Thanks.
So good morning, everybody. This is a really short update on our little construction project down below. It is done. And it looks great. We'll have pictures at the annual meeting for folks to see. Don't be afraid to go down there and look if you'd like. It's amazing.
Good morning. I'm Terry Potter. Most of you know that. But for those of you who are on Zoom, so you know who's speaking here. I'd just like to thank everyone who came and helped yesterday at Food at First. We served 56 people, which is a lot more than I would have expected. They served 25 the night before in the thrust of the storm. But anyway, thanks for everyone. And we do the fifth Sunday, which is coming up on the 30th. So if you're interested, let me know. And I'll put it in Facebook again.
Hi, I'm Eric Abbott. And I just wanted to note that you all, I think, have received or will receive soon your newsletter. And it's full of information from the interim call search committee asking for your input. It's got a list of things we think are attractive for our church. And it also has draft of an answer of three key questions. Who are we? Who is our neighbor? What do we want to become? So our committee is offering all of you the chance to provide us with some feedback and additions or corrections to what we put forward before we send it off to recruit an interim minister. So thanks for looking at this when you get it. It's long, but worth reading. Thanks for your input.
Hi, Nancy Dan, moderator. I'm here, and you've heard this before, but just to remind you that next week is the annual meeting. Because of the annual meeting, our worship will be virtual only, and the meeting will be on Zoom at 12:15, and we'll need a quorum of 50 because we're voting on the bylaws, but we have some other important business as well. So hope you can join us. Thanks.
Long-awaited Jesus. We anticipate the wedding feast, the celebration of your presence and our connection forever with you. With patience at times, and sometimes without it. We trust you to take the emptiness of religion. We embrace your transforming power and your wisdom. So this morning, in an effort to make sure that we can continue to meet in person and be safe, we're going to go back to our distant passing of the peace. So I would encourage you to greet your neighbor and offer the peace of Christ with them by not getting close to them, by not shaking their hand, but maybe offering a hug, or I mean a wave from afar. No hugs, no hugs. A wave from afar or a peace sign.
That way they don't keep mingling. I do it like now, so that they stop.
The reading this morning is from Isaiah 62, verse 1 through 5. For Zion's sake, I will not keep silent, and for Jerusalem's sake, I will not rest, until her vindication shines out like the dawn and her salvation like a burning torch. The nations shall see your vindication and all the kings your glory, and you shall be called by a new name that the mouth of the Lord will give. You shall be a crown of beauty in the hand of the Lord and a royal diadem in the hand of your God. You shall no more be termed forsaken, and your land shall no more be termed desolate, but you shall be called, my delight is in her, and your land married. For the Lord delights in you, and your land shall be married. For as a young man marries a young woman, so shall your builder marry you, and as the bridegroom rejoices over the bride, so shall your God rejoice over you.
Psalm 36, verses 5 through 10. God's love is meteoric, his loyalty astronomic, his purpose titanic, his verdicts oceanic. Yet in his largeness, nothing gets lost, not a man, not a mouse slips through the cracks. How exquisite your love, O God. How eager we are to run under your wings, to eat our fill at the banquet you spread as you fill our tankards with Eden spring water. You're a fountain of cascading light, and you open our eyes to light. Keep on loving your friends. Do your work in welcoming hearts. Don't let the bullies kick me around, the moral midgets slap me down. Send the upstarts sprawling flat on their faces in the mud.
Okay, this reading is John 2, verses 1 through 11. On the third day, a wedding took place at Cana in Galilee. Jesus' mother was there, and Jesus and his disciples had also been invited to the wedding. When the wine was gone, Jesus' mother said to him, "They have no more wine." "Woman, why do you involve me?" Jesus replied, "My hour has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." Nearby stood six stone water jars, the kind used by the Jews for ceremonial washing, each holding from 20 to 30 gallons. Jesus said to the servants, "Fill the jars with water," so they filled them to the brim. Then he told them, "Now draw some out and take it to the master of the banquet. They did so, and the master of the banquet tasted the water that had been turned into wine. He did not realize where it had come from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew. Then he called the bridegroom aside and said, "Everyone brings out the choice wine first, and then the cheaper wine, after the guests have had too much to drink. But you have saved the best till now." What Jesus did here in Cana of Galilee was the first of the signs through which he revealed his glory, and his disciples believed in him.
I'm Johnny Rogers Smith, a member of this congregation and a minister at large with Universal Ministries, which is an international interfaith ministry. My own ministry began some years ago with solemnizing marriages, so I tend to wear a white stole. And when I preach, I feel as though I'm missing somebody. I'm missing a couple of somebodies up here. But I'm blessed to be sharing with you a message of God's light on the second Sunday after Epiphany in the liturgical season that celebrates God's abundant love and light coming into the world in the person of Jesus. The season in which we learn who Jesus is and what he's about. I can imagine that at this point in the service, maybe someone may already be feeling as though they can't relate to a celebration of light today. Okay, I can hear them thinking, "Preach on, brother, but I just can't deal with a sermon about abundance and light today. Don't you know what's going on in the world? These are tough times. We're fighting bigotry, greed, and injustice, and we're mourning the loss of neighbors, friends, and family to disease and addiction." And to that, I can honestly say, I hear you loud and clear. I get it if you're in a dark place and need to feel your feelings right now. Please simply hear this reminder that you are not alone. Or if you're knee-deep in fighting the good fight, please remember that we need something stronger than determination, pain, and anger to keep us going and to make sure that we're going in the right direction. As Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. said, only light can drive out darkness. Whatever our situation, we all need more light to support and guide us. Today's readings from the Bible assure us that God's light, incredible light, not only exists, but is limitless. The readings also help us to recognize what God's light is, what it's all about. I have to smile when I consider that today's scripture was written by the prophet Isaiah and the psalmist. Of course, the gospel reading was written about Jesus. But these three people are not people from the Bible whom I would describe as being Susie Sunshine. They have dark times, are angry, afraid, or just deeply troubled about the state of the world. But in this morning's readings, they are celebrating abundance, feasting, and light, which can help us reconnect with God and recharge, just like they did. So abundance and feasting are concepts we easily understand. But what do we mean when we talk about God's light? I would say that God's light is a description of how we sometimes experience God's love, the freshness or clarity of shadows disappearing, and the renewal we call salvation. But let's recap the scripture readings to see what they say. Isaiah challenges the hearer to embrace his vision of a God that shines like the sunrise and a brightly burning torch. For Isaiah, the light is about salvation, about being justified in the eyes of his people's adversaries. The psalmist, who so often seems to be struggling through the worst day ever, celebrates the unwavering love of God, love in the abundance of a feast and in the volume of a flowing river. The light of God, he tells us, is meteoric, astronomical, so bright and intense that we're able to perceive it and experience it. It's as though God's love is carried in the light, is part of the light, and it won't ever run out. Finally, we hear from the Gospel of John about Jesus attending a wedding reception in Cana with his disciples and his mother. In the midst of the apparently very happy feasting, the wine begins to run low. Next thing we know, Jesus' mother is having a proud momzilla moment. She tells Jesus that he has an opportunity here to show what he's got, to give the disciples and anyone else who's around a sign of his power. After replying to his mother, "Ease up on me, woman," Jesus does something interesting. Seeing these jars that are dedicated to ritual washing, he tells some servants to fill the jars with water. Notice that Jesus isn't portrayed as saying a prayer, laying his hands on the jars, or waving a wand. He doesn't seem to be performing anything. At some point, simply in the presence of Jesus, the water becomes about 150 gallons of very tasty wine. Now, we know from other parts of Scripture that Jesus isn't especially impressed by people who need to see a miracle in order to believe, and he didn't appreciate getting his mother's advice at that particular moment. So what is he signaling here? Well, there is a lot of meaning we can get from this story, but what I feel is important for us to hear today is that we find transformative abundance in God's presence. To quickly summarize, God's light is salvation and justification, or as I would put it, it's about God saving our metaphorical and physical butts right in front of those who've been attacking us or laughing at us for being God's people. God's light is also love, and there's a never-ending supply of it. And it's in the presence of God that we find this transformative, rescuing, loving light. For Isaiah and the psalmist, God's light is very real. Of course, Old Testament folks were having visions all over the place, so they may have been a bit ahead of the game at experiencing God. Still, the abundance, the feast, the shining light isn't pie in the sky by and by. It's a certainty for them, despite being in the midst of challenging and painful lives. Perhaps we modern folk don't have as many visions, but we can certainly visualize. And anyway, visions can be a bit perilous. I remember an old Episcopalian priest warned that visions are only worthwhile, are only a blessing when they can be brought into the real world of daily life. So how can we visualize and experience God's presence, be filled and recharged by God's abundant light in the right here and now? Well, I invite you to join me in a paper cup meditation. Yep, a paper cup. One of those little Dixie cup type things. Or if you're a fan of picnics and parties, it could be a red plastic cup. I won't judge. You just got to trust me on this. And anyway, it'll only take a couple of minutes. I don't know what the origin of the paper cup meditation is, but it's all about visualizing your heart, your whole life, being filled with the light of God. Now, I invite you to take the next couple of minutes to give God's light a chance to fill you up to overflowing. You might close your eyes, focus on the dancing flame of the candle, or look at one of the beautiful features of the sanctuary. However you focus your thoughts, know that the abundant light of God, the light of God's love, is for you, just as you are at this moment in this place. If you think you might have a tough time envisioning or experiencing this today, just imagine that your heart, your soul, your whole being is a paper cup. There's a constant, gentle flow of God's light into your being, into your cup. You might picture that light as something soft and airy, or as a bright metallic liquid. See the light and all that it represents, all that it contains, begin to fill your cup. If your cup has a hole in it, or even if it has no bottom and the light flows right on through, don't worry. Know that the light of God is constantly shining, is constantly flowing into your cup. Before the foundation of time, God knew us, and knowing all that we are in advance, God extended the light of God's love to us. God has continued to supply it, and it can never be exhausted, see the constant, limitless light of God begin to fill in the bottom of your cup. As the bottom of your cup fills in, more and more of God's light stays with you, and your cup begins to hold more and more. Imagine also the light of God that has come to you through others, even in the smallest of ways. Every kind smile and thoughtful remark, every good wish and act is coming home to rest in your cup, along with the constant, direct flow of light from God. All of this light keeps filling in the bottom of your cup until the amount of light in the cup rises toward the top. It continues to fill your cup, to rise slowly until it just spills over the edge. Your heart and soul, the very core of your being, are so full of light that light is not only around you, but has become an integral part of you. Bringing this experience and knowledge of God's light along with you, slowly return your attention to the sanctuary, to the present time and place. Know that the light of God is truly endless, ever flowing into and through our lives. There is so much more than enough. If your experience or certainty of this ever fades and you feel like you're running on empty, you can always meditate again on the cup, filling in and filling up to overflowing with the light of God. Amen. Welcome to the table. It is Jesus' table, so naturally everyone is welcome and no one will be turned away. During the season of Epiphany, we're reminded that Jesus' table proclaims the promise that there is always a way to life, even if the journey takes us years, even if it goes through Egypt, because the light of the world continues to shine brightly. God is with us. God is with you. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. Holy Creator, your faithfulness has been demonstrated from the creation of light on the very first day to the sun that rose this morning. Jesus said, "Come to me, all you who are weary and carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest." The crosses we bear are heavy and difficult to carry. Some are of our own making, while others are the burden of the brokenness of humanity and all creation. Jesus asked Simon Peter not just one time, not just two times, but three times, "Do you love me?" And Peter, feeling hurt that Jesus asked him this question a third time, answered, "You know everything. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep." On this blessed day, we pray that we would experience Epiphany once again. May God's divine light bring us understanding. May Jesus' humility bring us peace. And may the Holy Spirit feed us not with ordinary bread and juice, but with a holy meal prepared by Jesus, who on the night he gave himself up for love and mercy, sat down at a table with those who had become family. At that table were those who adored him, and those who would betray him. He knew this. He gave bread to all anyway. Jesus said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." When the supper was over, he took the cup, invited all to drink from this cup. The cup of love, the cup of suffering, the sign of the covenant of relationship, saying, "Whenever you gather as a family around tables, whenever you strive to overcome the adversity of being human together, whenever you need to remember I am always with you, do this." Now that everything is ready, let's eat and drink together. May the bread and the cup continue to nourish us as we go forward into this new year. May the light of the first Epiphany lead us in faith, hope, and courage. May we open our lives to fill with and reflect God's light and guide others to God's love. Amen.
The this morning, as we gather to pray together, Barbara will come around with a microphone if there's anyone that has a prayer, joy, or concern that they'd like to share with the rest of us. You can go ahead and raise your hand.
Hi, I'm Krista Anderson. As we all know, COVID and the new Omicron variant have been really going hot and heavy. In speaking with Marge Utermark this week, she said that all of her family in Minnesota, which includes a son, grandkids, great-grandkids, all have have COVID. However, here's some good news. Brad Dell is better. We heard last week that he had COVID, and he's able to be up and about. And that is a wonderful thing. The Barnhearts, who have an older couple here at church who've been suffering from COVID, Terry dropped off a meal this week, and they're doing much better, so that's a good, good thing. And finally, prayers for the couple, the Dolphs, that's Samantha and Joe. They have made a trip out to Washington State this weekend to attend a funeral for an uncle of Samantha's, who died recently, and very sad to say, and she's very open about that, from a drug overdose. So please keep them in your prayers and hope that they'll make it home safely today.
Hi, I'm Eric Abbott. This is sort of a joy. It's been a kind of a tough week in Iowa when you listen to what politicians are saying about people of diversity. So I was very pleased when I opened my issue of The Economist magazine, which no one would accuse of being overly liberal, and there was a full-page obituary of April Ashley, who was the first trans activist in Britain, noting her accomplishments and the important ways in which she's changed the whole dialogue.
I lost a good friend of mine about a week ago, and I worked with Karen. I had a book group with Karen. She was just a dear, dear person. And a group of us are gathering. There won't be a service until spring, but a group of us that knew her are gathering tomorrow to share stories and memories. So keep us in your prayers. It's a hard time to lose folks, and I particularly feel for her two daughters who are left behind.
We have a couple on the Zoom. I'm going to go ahead and just read them. This one from Jason Paul: prayers of thanksgiving for the thoughts, care, cards, and concern from all of you for my parents as they experienced COVID. They have now mostly recovered, and the only lingering symptom seems to be fatigue. From Charles Knicker: a friend at Green Hills, Ted, fell yesterday. He had a hip replacement surgery last night that was successful. And Bruce and Linda Hansen are returning to Honduras on January 20th, which is this week, right? So we'll need more information, Bruce and Linda. All right. I'd like to lift up thanks, obviously, for Johnny, so we'll pray for him as well. But let's be together in prayer. Gracious and loving God, be with us now as we are entering into this next surge of COVID, with so many friends and relatives and neighbors contracting the virus, even though they've been vaccinated. It's hard to understand how we are here yet again, or still, or however we want to look at it. but be with us and give us the safety and the health and the resilience and the patience to just continue to do what we believe is best and safe, and be able to keep our neighbors safe and be conscious of other people as well. Today we pray for Nancy as she's grieving the loss of her dear friend Karen. And as so many of us know, when you lose a good friend, it's like losing a little piece of yourself. And so as Nancy and her other friends gather to remember Karen and to share stories and hopefully some laughs and some tears, may she feel filled with your peace and your love, knowing that Karen has gone to her next place in this eternal life, that she, Nancy, would be surrounded by these friends and by us in support and in love. May she feel that surround her as she continues to grieve for Karen. And we pray for healing, continued healing, but prayers of gratitude for Jason's parents, prayers of healing for the Udemark family, and also for Charles' friend Ted as he wakes up today after a hip replacement. He's got a long road ahead of him, but we're just grateful that he's safe and that the surgery went well and that he can begin this hard work for rehab. We pray for Joe and Samantha as they travel, for the funeral that they'll attend, that they'll feel close to other people that also loved this family member, and that they'll have safe travels home. And we pray for Bruce and Linda as they get ready to leave for Honduras again, that they'll be able to pack all the things that they've acquired while they're here, that they'd have safe travels as they return down south, and that once they're there, they would have the safety around them, but also a ministry that suits them well, that they'll be put in a place where they're able to use their gifts and their talents to serve you and the people of Honduras. We just pray for the continued fight that we seem to be in as a country and even as a community for adversity and diversity. We celebrate those who are continuing to be a voice for others. And we just pray that this church community and that each of us as individuals can continue to lift our voice where it's appropriate to speak for those that don't have a voice as loud as ours. And I pray for this congregation as we just are sort of in this time of transition. I lift up our interim search committee as they're working to find that next person that can help lead us. And I pray in gratefulness for the many people that have stepped up to keep us moving forward. This morning, I especially lift up Johnny as he's been able to provide us with some really thoughtful ways of thinking about light and leading us in communion and being in leadership with all of us on this day. I give you thanks. And together we all pray the prayer that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Always remember that the light of God directs us. The love of God enfolds us. The power of God protects us. The peace of God upholds us. Wherever we are, God is, and all is well. Amen.